We are reading the story of the first resurrection day on Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook from fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Rejoice!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go. Bring word to my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So for the people who were at sunrise service earlier this morning, we used John's version of the same story, but a little different telling, and we needed to use Matthew here, but interestingly enough, it's Matthew that inspired the message that I wrote for our time at the lake this morning. Because it said, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And so the words dawn and first day hit my mind, and now you know where it went, didn't you? What was it?
Morning is broken.
Morning is broken. Yes, I couldn't help but think of you the whole time that I was working on that message. That song began to float in my heart, and the tune spoke to me to where we had to use it by the lakeside, but I really needed to use Matthew's words for this time together too, because the first dawn of the new day came with some mixed emotions. So we're going to talk about those emotions and kind of get ourselves into the same sort of frame of mind that we might have experienced if we had been there for the first resurrection Sunday, or not Sunday, but resurrection celebration. So you're going to need your party horns pretty soon, okay? Yay, you really want to? Yeah, I know. The kids were blowing them like crazy, got to tell you. Rachel, I think there was about 100 or so folks there. There's like 20 kids. And they were just blowing those horns, and their parents looked at me and they said, "Did you mean to give them to the kids this early?" Yes, I did. Boy, did we sound like we were alive. You know, usually we can hear the church across the way. They have must have a speaker outside because you can hear them at your car. I thought, I bet they could hear us this morning. We were blowing horns. So imagine that we want to bring this into our own experiences. And so I know this is Sunday morning, it is Easter morning, but pretend it's Friday night, okay? It's been a long week at work, and work has been very hectic. Can anybody already relate? I know some of you, yeah, I was going to say, you're going to point right at him, because I knew that Rodney's just had a really hectic week at work. People at work have been complaining. We can also relate to that. And we seem to be on the other side of their debates. We've heard that changes are coming to the workplace, and there's talk of restructuring. So your job feels like it's in the balance, and your future is unsure. And so, in the midst of all this complaining and hectic, you have been working extra hard so that you can convince your company they cannot possibly function without you. Now, things at home are not bad, but as is usual, there's always all these unexpected things that come up where you have bills you weren't planning, and so you have all this extra pressure to keep working. So, at the end of this week, on this Friday night that we're imagining, physically, the stress is taking a toll on you. You feel the way we expect to feel. Beyond tired, you are exhausted, and you're so glad it's Friday night. You stop on the way home and grab takeout so that no one has to cook and there's no stress of coming up with that. And you imagine a quiet evening, no cooking, no drama, No need to perform in a certain way, only to go home and sit down and eat, pull on your favorite sweats, and do your favorite thing, whether it's journaling or fishing or crocheting or watching Survivor. That's what we do. You park your car. In your mind, you're already remembering where you put your favorite sweats, and you're already kicking off your shoes, and you reach for the doorknob and walk with me a little bit here. It's Friday night. You've been feeling these things. You had a plan for what? Quiet. And when you got home, was it quiet? What are your feelings in the moment when all of that noise hits you? Annoying. Who said that? I love it. What else?
Disappointment.
What else do you think you'd be feeling?
Reset.
A reset? You need a reset button? You're still trying to absorb what just happened to me? Somebody at Ohio Street this morning said angry, that they would be angry because they would want to know how everybody got in their house. You know what I did not hear universally in three worship services this morning? You know what I did not hear? Happy, glad, joy. Never heard anyone say that they would be pleasantly surprised. Isn't that funny? Would you be pleasantly surprised? All right. Well, I'm glad somebody would. Peter would be pleasantly surprised. But people were just like, oh, I was looking forward to the peace and quiet, and things weren't what I thought. You might be wondering if you are going to be able to get that adrenaline rush that will get you the second wind. You might be trying to wrap your mind around all of the things, but it is probably mixed emotions, right? So many feels. A party is supposed to make us feel what?
Happy.
Joy. All of this. Okay, so let's now take this situation and our feelings here and that stressful day, the setup I had for our stressful day, and put this over here in Jesus' context. The women on the first day, they were not headed there to relax, okay? They were headed there to do something. So if we had encountered this sort of situation, and we're talking about I just want to relax kind of Friday night, what if you were headed to plan someone's funeral service and you were met with that sort of exuberance? Would that also be quite shocking? It would be in a whole other level of emotional roller coaster. And these women that went to the tomb that first day, they were not expecting something joyful or loud. They were expecting quiet. They were expecting to prepare Jesus. They were expecting peace. Now let's take those that week lead up and think about it in Jesus' time. Do we think the last week of Jesus' life had been hectic? Yes. Do we think people were complaining? Clearly. Were Jesus and his followers on the opposite side of what everybody else was complaining about?
Yeah.
Seems as if. Yes, thank you, Peter. Given the events of the triumphal entry and Jesus' own talk that he was going to be leaving, his followers, did they wonder what they were going to be doing, kind of like when we have job insecurity? Probably so. The disciples couldn't imagine how the world would ever go back to what it was before Jesus came. And then Jesus was gone, but not the way that they expected. And so nothing felt right. So when we take our daily life stress, and we can all relate to that, we could probably multiply that by hundreds or thousands to reach how the people were feeling, how the followers and Mary were feeling that morning when they went to the tomb, where they went to plan their goodbyes, where they thought they were going to get, it had been crazy and hectic and loud and opposing forces, and they had this time where they were planning to go, and they probably thought, at least when we see Jesus' face for the last time, we'll have peace in the moment. So when they got there, filled with grief, they got a surprise. Something they definitely didn't expect. Disappointment, fear, anger, all of the things that we were talking about, again, multiplied. Do we think that the very first Easter was joy? we want it to be, right? We want it to be. We imagine going to the tomb and, oh, Jesus is gone, yay, because we know where Jesus is. But at that first morning, they had no idea. Mary ran back and said, they have taken him and I don't know where they have put him. She was so distraught. When we read earlier today from the book of John, we read about these mixed emotions that she had. And the books of John and Matthew put all of this a little bit differently than each other. In the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb while it is dark, sees that the stone is rolled away, and instead of feeling joyful, she is confused. As if the grief of losing someone she loved so much wasn't enough, stack on top of that, now he's missing. So she was feeling grief, and before she had any time to know what was happening, she ran back and told the disciples that Jesus was missing, and they go running back. That's a lot of running, by the way. It's almost a mile from where they were staying to where the tomb was, and so they have walked there, run home, run back. I'm tired. I'm exhausted thinking about it. And this loss and the tired, and it's in that, in the book of John, that Jesus comes and he speaks and he just, that's the one that always gives me the goosebumps when he just says, Mary. And she knows who it is by the way he says her name. But in the Gospel of Matthew, the one that we read here, the story is just a little bit different. Before the woman arrived, there is an earthquake, and we can kind of have a tendency to hear this story and hear that the women got there, and the earth quaked, and this angel appeared. But if we pay attention to the way the scripture read, it said an earthquake, quote, had occurred, past tense, and an angel was already sitting there. And so they arrived, and they see the angel who says, he is not here, he has risen. And it says they ran away. You're looking right down there at your scripture. They ran away feeling two things. What does it say there they was feeling?
The wind.
They were feeling two things when they ran off.
In Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was surprised.
They were feeling surprised. Fear and joy. Those are very different emotions, aren't they? They ran away with fear and joy. And in the book of Matthew, it's right here where Jesus meets them. So the story sounds a little different, and one of the, I like to pull those out and point out that, yes, they read differently, because sometimes folks will come up to us and go, well, are you sure that this is accurate? Because they don't all jive with one another. A, we have to consider that each writer was achieving a different goal with the way they wrote, but I wonder if it couldn't be all accurate, because let's think about the names of the women who were there. There was a Salome and a Joanna that were there. And there was two or three other women, and what was their names?
Mary.
And?
Mary.
And maybe Mary.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Because James and Jesus may or may not have been brothers. It depends on which denomination you ask. And if they were brothers, then there was two Marys. And if they were not brothers, there were three Marys. So, Mary ran back and told the fellas, well, Mary was in the garden and met Jesus. Could both things be true? It could be. Because one of them may have outrun the other just the way that John and Peter went running to the tomb and one of them beat them. And if I am one of the Marys who is running, the one that's the better runner is going to beat me all the way back, and I'm still going to be in the garden going, I'll be there in a minute. I'm tired. Sorry. And that's when Jesus could meet us. So there are what seems like inconsistencies, but we don't really know if any of this really is inconsistent or if all of it could be true at the same time. But the overall message of the story here, we have very basic, the same, and it's all the important things. One, Jesus is risen. And that's exciting. That is for us. We are joy-filled and hope-filled, but on the first resurrection morning, there was a lot of mixed emotions about it. Fear, joy, and grief. Frantic rushing, frantic running back and forth, and I love that it's in this where they're feeling all of the things, and they have all of the questions, and in the middle of that, at each one's proper time, Jesus meets them. I think that's what is good for us to remember in here, because we think of the first resurrection morning and hours, and we sort of go, oh, well, it was like a planned celebration. No, it was a surprise party. We imagined smiles on every face. And we expected everyone there had very certain faith, but it wasn't like that. It was fear and confusion and running and back and forth and trying to make sense of something that made absolutely no sense. And could this possibly be true? Pinch me so I can see if I'm really awake and hearing what I'm seeing. They left the tomb quickly, that maybe didn't arrive at the same time, in this mixed bag of emotions. There is joy in Easter for us because we know the story, but there's also, as we list, and it's been very interesting to me this morning, that most of our joys and concerns list had a lot of concerns on there. And when we consider the things that we lift up, has anybody got questions about life, about eternity, about heaven, about what's going to happen next? Is anybody sure of absolutely everything that's going to happen from now until they meet Jesus?
No.
None of us. Does anybody here know every letter of the Bible and understand it? Or do we all kind of understand in our own way? We have questions. We have fears. We get exhausted running back and forth and trying to figure it out. And sometimes we think, well, Jesus is not going to meet me because I don't have all the answers and I still have so many questions. But where did he meet these people? In the middle of it. While they had questions, while they were worried. And he said to them a couple of things. He said three things, actually. First, he said the same thing that was told to Mary, the mother Mary, at the time that she found out she was pregnant. First thing he said was, don't be afraid. Who's hearing that? Aren't we? About Jesus and from Jesus. Don't be afraid. That was the first thing he said. He said, don't be afraid. The second thing he said was, rejoice. Don't be scared of this. Have joy in your heart from it. But then there was a third thing he told her to go and do. To go. That's what he told her. He said, don't be afraid. Have joy and go. Go tell. Go tell others that I am is alive. Go heal. Go love. Go. I don't care where you go, but you can't stay here. Go. We come in and we think maybe we would like to hear the reassurance and the peace and all of that, and that is great. Jesus meets us here. We get that. But just like them, the other part of our message today is that we will be sent. So we will be met in our questions. I suspect all of them were trembling that day. Do you ever get into the middle of a situation and you just feel your whole body is just trembling, at least on the inside, even if nobody can see it on the outside? Those folks was all trembling. And it was in the middle of that trembling and in the middle of all that Jesus said, you're the ones that I have selected to go. Not after they figured things out, not after they understood, not after they had settled down. In the middle of it, he said, don't be afraid of this. Joyfully go. We have been invited to go to. We encounter Christ at the tomb. We worship him here, but when we get up, we're not supposed to just get up and go on. We're supposed to go out and serve. The first morning was the dawn of a new day. Not just announcing that God had done something, it was announcing that God was doing something. That is where we meet it. God is still up to something. We just saw that with that pilot this morning. God is still up to something. Timing. Is it odd or is it God? I think it's God. Christ meets us in the middle of our fears, calling us by name and sends us out mission-shaped by the experience, by the resurrection. So this morning, as we get ready to depart, I have to ask you all a question, and I'm really curious how you're going to respond. Are you ready to go? Everybody looks at me like, not really sure. Thanks, H. H is ready to go. He's ready to party. Are you ready to be the Peter, Thomas, Salome, John, Mary? Are you ready for Christ to send you, even though you don't know that you have all the answers? I promise you, when I was called to be a pastor, I said, I can't be a pastor. I don't know anything. God still sent me. Still is. The same Jesus who met them on the road is the one who meets us today. Not just meets us, prepares us, invites us, and also sends us. I kind of love that at Rich Hill, there where the kids come up for their children's time, they have a box of suckers that one of the previous pastors has left. And after the children's time, apparently he would say something to along the lines of, "Now grab a sucker and get out of here." And it's on a little plaque on top of the box that's what he used to say. And so I sort of love that, because I'm thinking the same here, is that we get to take communion and Jesus is sort of saying, come and get yourself a sucker and then get out of here and go.